As you can see from the handout you've been given and the screen, the title of our message this morning is A Communication Problem. Based on our gospel reading from John chapter 4, especially now listen to these verses again. Jesus left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. And he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, and Jacob's well was there. And there came a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." I invite you to look at your handout that was given to you. On the front page of the handout, you'll find your sermon outline as we consider our theme, A Communication Problem. The story is told of a farmer who wrote a letter to the government agency in charge of all plumbing regulations for the province. In the letter, the farmer said he had discovered that hydrochloric acid was a great thing to use to unclog pipes and drains. And he asked for their opinion. And a government bureaucrat fired back this letter. "The efficiency of hydrochloric acid is indisputable, but the corrosive consequences and subsequent residues are incompatible with metal permanence." The farmer, like some of you, didn't get what they were trying to communicate. So he wrote back and he said, "I'm sure glad you boys there agree with me." The government official, somewhat alarmed by this response, sent the farmer a second letter. And here's how it read. "We wish to emphasize and reiterate that we must refrain from assuming responsibility for the production of toxic and noxious residue with hydrochloric acid, and consequently we must most emphatically recommend an alternate procedure." Again, the farmer wrote back and said, "I'm sure glad you boys agree with me." Finally, in desperation, the government official wrote back this very short letter, and it wrote, "Don't use the acid, you old dingbat! It eats the heck out of the pipes." Now that was a communication problem. And there's a communication problem in today's gospel reading from John chapter 4. In fact, there are a series of communication problems. First of all, verse 4 says, Jesus was on his way to Galilee, and the text says, and he had to pass through Samaria. Now, there's a sense in which this is not true, and we wonder if St. John, the gospel writer, had a communication problem. You see, when traveling from Judea to go to Galilee in the north, the Jewish people of Jesus' day would not go through Samaria, even though it was the quickest and most direct route to Galilee. Why? Well, as I recently explained in a sermon just a couple of weeks ago, Jewish people and Samaritan people simply did not get along. In fact, they hated each other. Samaritans were considered by the people of Judea to be half-breeds. They were a mixture in their heritage of Israelites and foreign pagan nations. They practiced a religion that was a mixture of Israelite and pagan rituals. They ate and dressed and lived differently than their distant cousins from the south in Judea. So for many years, the people in Judea were mean to the Samaritans, and the Samaritans were mean to the people of Judea. So the people of Judea avoided going through Samaria to get to Galilee, even though it was the quickest way to get there. Let me show you on a map. Here is Jerusalem. There is Galilee, and you can obviously see a straight route from Jerusalem to Galilee would go through Samaria. But here is what most Jewish people did. Any way to get around Samaria, they would take the long route, anything to avoid Samaria to get to Galilee. You can turn the slide off. That would be like this. And I apologize ahead of time to any of our members who live in Ladner. This would be like people from Richmond planning to go to White Rock. But instead of taking 99 straight south through Ladner to get to White Rock, you go all the way around to Abbotsford just so you could avoid Ladner at all costs. Sorry, folks who live in Ladner. Now, why does St. John say then that Jesus had to go through Samaria? It is indeed not a communication problem. Instead, it's a wonderful message for sinners like you and me and the woman at the well. We'll see later in this sermon that our precious Lord Jesus had a divine appointment with this unnamed woman at the well in the village of Sychar in the area of Samaria. He would not let anything prevent him from going where she was. My friends, our Lord Jesus Christ has a divine appointment with you. No matter who you are, no matter what you may have done, our Lord will let nothing prevent Him from coming to you. Out of the divine love of God that's in God's heart, our Lord Jesus had to go through Samaria. He had to go to that cross. And He has to be here today to be with you, whom He loves so very much. Now back to John 4, where there seems to be another communication problem. We read in verses 5 to 7, Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar. Jacob's well was there. It was about the sixth hour, and there came a woman from Samaria to draw water from the well. John says by the time Jesus got to the village of Sychar and was at the well, it was the sixth hour. The sixth hour is a Jewish way of saying it was high noon. The hottest part of the day in a desert country, that's when Jesus went to this well. Now, what's John trying to tell us here? And by the way, why would any woman with common sense come out at high noon, the hottest part of the day, to physically draw water from a well, fill her water jar, carry it upon her head all the way back to the village? Why would she do such a thing? And why was she all alone? Where were all the other women from the village? Surely others needed water. Now, the Bible text doesn't tell us, but we can imagine the following to be true. Sychar was a very small village, and everybody knew everybody else. Everybody knew everybody's business. Anybody come from a small town? How do you spell Saskatchewan? Everybody knew everybody's business. And all the other women came out early in the morning, at the cool of the day, with the hard job of drawing water to carry it back with heavy water jars back to the village. And perhaps this was a good social time, when all the gals would gather together and share and talk, and also beak and share the gossip of the village. Well, perhaps this unnamed woman who came out at noon, at the sixth hour, in the heat of the day, all by herself, perhaps she was the subject of their gossip. Did she have a bad reputation? Was she an outcast? Maybe she just didn't want to endure the scorn of the other women's tongues. We'll soon discover in the text what kind of life she led that made her an outcast. But in the meantime, let's just focus on the fact right now that St. John tells us she came by herself to the well at the sixth hour, that is at high noon. And she was thirsty. And it just so happened. It just so happened. Who was sitting at that well waiting for her to come out? It was our precious Lord Jesus. And He was thirsty. Yes, thirsty for water, but even more thirsty for sinners, for this woman, for you and for me. Because can you remember another time in Holy Scripture when the sixth hour is mentioned and Jesus said, "I thirst"? In the Gospel accounts of Matthew and Mark and Luke, we're told that Jesus was upon the cross at the sixth hour. And St. John says, at this very hour, Jesus cries out, "I am thirsty." Yes, our Lord was thirsty for water at the well of Sychar. Yes, He was thirsty for water as He hung upon the cross, dying for the sins of the world. But on the cross and at the well, our Lord Jesus shows us the very heart of love of God Almighty, that He thirsts and He yearns and He cares for all sinners, for you and for me. Now, in today's account from John chapter 4, Jesus says to this woman, "Give me a drink." Then the woman says these words in verse 9, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan?" And a Samaritan woman. Jesus was breaking every rule of respectable society, a respected Jewish rabbi, in full daylight, in a public place, talking to a Samaritan woman, and asking her for a drink. Speaking with her when nobody else in the whole village would have anything to do with her. Jesus, what will people think? Talk about causing a communication problem to the village gossipers, as well as for Jesus' own disciples, who will come back in just a moment to the scene. But Jesus did this on purpose. What does John 4, verse 4 say? Jesus had to go through Samaria. He had a divine appointment with this woman. God's love for sinners knows no barriers. Please listen carefully to these next words I'm about to say.
Oh no! We had a technical glitch and lost about 1 minute of Pastor Harold's sermon. At this point, Pastor drew our attention to Jesus on the cross and described what all Jesus has done for us and has done for all people. Then Pastor continued with a Hebrew expression for today's scripture reading, "Mahim, Hayim," that can be translated two ways. One, as living water, which is water received through baptism for our soul, and two, as flowing water, which is water that flows to where you live so you don't have to walk all the way to a well and carry the water back. The Samaritan woman at the well did not know that Jesus meant living water, but thought He meant flowing water, which would be like having indoor plumbing and make her life much, much easier. Listen now to Pastor Harold as he continues the sermon.
"Your plumbing! Woohoo!" she says. "Give me this flowing water so I won't have to come down day after day all by myself in the heat of the day when all the gossipers are looking through their curtains at me. Please give me this living water. Pipe it right into my home. Give me this Mayim Hayim." In verse 15 of our text, here's exactly what she says. "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come to this well day after day to draw water." Amazing! Jesus Christ, who Himself is God's living water, is standing right in front of her. He is the true and eternal thirst quencher. And she doesn't get it. She doesn't understand. So to help her understand who He really was, Jesus changes the subject. He says to her in verse 16, "Go call your husband." Uh-oh. Now we learn the key details of her life and while she was a village outcast. She tells Jesus, "I don't have a husband." And Jesus, who knows the hearts of all people, says, "You're right in saying you have no husband, because you've had five husbands and you're just shacking up with this guy you're living with right now." But then Jesus has a word for her guilty conscience. He says, "Go call your husband." But then he has a word for her heart. The word for her heart is this: "Go call your husband, and please come back here." Today and every Sunday, our Lord has a word for our guilty consciences. He says, "Confess your sins." But then he has a word for our hearts when he says, "Come unto me, all of you who are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest for your souls." Now, how does the woman at the well react to Jesus knowing her secrets and her sin? She's stunned. Whoa. "You know I've had five husbands. You know I'm living with this guy." And she quickly tries to change the subject. She tries to throw up a smoke screen, and she brings up a religious question to ask the pastor so he'll get away from her personal life. She asks him a religious question about comparing Jewish and Samaritan worship practices and locations, hoping this will get Jesus off track from her personal life. Well, Jesus, what does he do? He politely answers her questions, but then he refocuses the conversation on her spiritual needs. And she still doesn't get it. You see, there still is a communication problem. And she says in verse 25, "Oh, I know that when Messiah comes, he'll explain everything." And Jesus says these wonderful words: "I, who speak to you, am he." Now, this is where today's appointed gospel reading ends. But the story doesn't end here. So rush home today, won't you, and read the rest of John chapter 4. Because here is the rest of the story. We soon learn after this conversation that Jesus had with the woman at the well, Jesus' disciples rejoin him. They had gone off to buy some food. When they return, they are astounded and upset that Jesus is talking with this kind of woman in public. You see, now they have a communication problem about who should be loved and who should be cared for by God. But Jesus tells them what he tells all of us today. And here's the central thought of our sermon: God's love knows no barriers. You want more proof of that? Look here. God's love has no barriers. As I share with you these next words, please look at the cross and the one who hung there for you. On that cross, we see God's love in human flesh. On that cross, we see the living water of eternal life pouring himself out for the sins of all mankind. On that cross, we see God's solution for our sin and our guilt and our shame. And we know that after that cross came the empty tomb. And with the empty tomb, Jesus' resurrection victory that gives the gift of heaven to all who put their faith in him. Now, speaking of putting their faith and trust in him, whatever happened to the woman? Well, by the end of chapter 4, which I know you're going to go home today and read, aren't you? Do this. The end of chapter 4, we learn that this woman laid down her water jar. That thing she thought was most important in her life. She laid down that water jar. She ran back to her village. And she spoke with passion about Jesus, the Messiah, to those who had rejected her. But they listened to her words. They came to that well and they met Jesus, the Messiah. And they too drank from the waters of everlasting life. My friends, what about your water jars? What about those things in your life that you think are so very important? those possessions, those plans, those priorities that you hope will quench your thirst, but only they leave you thirsty and unfilled. Will you lay them down and drink from Jesus, the real thirst quencher? Will you join the woman at the well? And leaving here this today, leaving this place today, will you go back to your village, your home, your neighborhood, your school and workplace? Will you go back there and invite others to come with you to this place to meet your Jesus and to drink from the well of living water? I invite you to go home this week. You want a homework assignment? Here it is. I invite you to go home this week and ask God to tell you what water jar you need to lay down in your life. Ask God to show you how this water jar will not quench your thirst. In terms of eternity, this water jar does not hold water. And then ask your dear Father in heaven to lay upon your heart the name of one person to bring with you to this place, to hear God's Word, to meet your Jesus, and to drink from the wells of salvation. You know, this living water is given out freely Sunday after Sunday. And every Sunday is a great day to invite someone else. But let me tell you, a month from this Sunday is Easter. What a wonderful day to especially invite that one person you've been thinking and praying about for a long time. Invite that person any Sunday, of course. On Easter Sunday, let me guarantee you, there'll be no communication problem to anybody here about the love of God for them in Jesus Christ, their Lord. Now, we're going to end this sermon today with a delightful account of clear communication from the battlefields of World War II. At the famous Battle of the Bulge in Belgium, the U.S. troops under the leadership of General Anthony McAuliffe were hopelessly surrounded by 10,000 crack German troops and their panzer tanks. A German courier delivered a message from the German commander to the American forces, and here's what the message said. To the American commander, your position is hopeless. You are surrounded. Surrender. And in an act of clear and precise communication, in an act of joyful defiance, McAuliffe fired off a one-word reply that served as the rallying cry for their troops and their eventual astounding victory. He wrote to the German commander, "Nuts! Jesus, our Savior and our commander, fought a horrendous war on the battlefield of the cross. And he died upon that cross. And when he died, it seemed the enemy forces of sin, death, and devil had won. But on Easter Sunday, he rose. He rose in victory." And can you just imagine our Lord Jesus bursting from the tomb and into the face of sin and into the face of death and into the face of the devil, our Lord Jesus raising his fist and saying to them, "Nuts!" My dearly beloved, regarding our trusting and then our sharing with others so great a victory, may there never be a communication problem. In the name of Jesus, amen.